All you Northern Ireland fans will know that tune very well as you sing it. All the football matches, no doubt. But anyway, let's turn to God's Word again. I want to look at the subject today of sacrificial in service, considering the testimony here of this man, Epaphroditus. Sacrificial in service will be the subject, the theme of what we want to look at this morning by the help of God. But before we come to God's Word this morning, can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer and seek His face together. Let's all pray. Our eternal God and our Father, we just plead again for the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we come to Thy Word, realize, O God, the awesome task that lies before each one of us to understand, to take in, Lord, and to be obedient to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take the pages of Holy Scripture this morning, Lord, write them upon our hearts. Lord, make these words living words. Lord, we thank Thee that it is the living Word of God. O God, we pray that Thy Word will come with great power. Our Father, we pray that You'll give us help to rightly divide the Scriptures and give us help, Lord, to hear what God would have to say to us. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Speak to this heart of mine. Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of God to me. Hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Epaphroditus was no Paul. Neither was he a Timothy. But nonetheless, he is worthy of note here to be singled out and marked out by the apostle as being another role model or example to the church at Philippi. While Paul was the preeminent preacher, and Timothy was the very loyal and dedicated disciple who was steadfast in his service, Epaphroditus, we could say, was the ordinary church member who was sacrificial in his service. There are very few Pauls. There are very few Timothys. But I think a lot of us can identify with this man, Epaphroditus. He was just an ordinary believer. Very little is known about him. Very little is written about him. It is very likely that he came from a Gentile home, came perhaps even from a pagan home. His name comes from the Greek god Aphrodite, which is the god of love. And many commentators would suggest that only a child born into a pagan and ungodly home would have been given such a name. But however, the Lord used that ungodly upbringing and turned his name into something lovely and into something beautiful. His name comes to know and understand to be lovely and charming. And I think as we go through these verses today at the end of Philippians chapter 2, you'll see just how lovely, how charming this man of God by the name of Epaphroditus was. He risked his very life, his very health for the sake of others. And that's why we have called this message and entitled this message, Sacrificial in Service. I want you to see as we consider the testimony here and the account of Epaphroditus, I want you to see first of all with me here the marks that defined him. The marks that defined him. While we do not know an awful lot about this man, yet in the verses before us, there are some very clear defining marks that set forth Epaphroditus as a good example and role model for others to follow. Because remember what Paul has been doing here when he's been speaking about himself, speaking about Timothy and now about Epaphroditus, he has been giving us examples as to how we would live for Christ and how we would have the mind of Christ within us. He was another man who had the mind of Christ. And here Paul sets before us some startling marks about this man, Epaphroditus. He was not a super Christian. He was not to the forefront or in the limelight. We don't know if he held any position in the church at all. If we could say he was a plain, straightforward, no-nonsense member, faithful member of the church at Philippi with no self-centered agenda, no self-promoting program, just a genuine, sincere desire to live for God in whatever way he could. So let's look at some of the marks that define this man. And as we think of this today, I want us to remember who is speaking here. While, of course, it is the Holy Spirit, but Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. These are the thoughts of the great apostle himself, of this man, Epaphroditus. This man, this apostle Paul, who called for the highest service and standard of service and dedication. And so what Paul says about people is worth listening to. Paul chooses his words very carefully. Paul never comes off with pious words just for the sake of it. Paul doesn't slap people on the back and say well done to them just for the sake of it. When Paul speaks, he speaks with great discernment. And so what he says here of Epaphroditus is worthy of our note. The first mark that we see here is that he was a man of conviction. He describes him there in verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. My brother. He calls Timothy my son, but he calls Epaphroditus my brother. There is that common bond that unites Paul and Epaphroditus together. That bond, of course, is the bond of Calvary love. That bond that binds them together in unity as they share in the experience as brothers in Christ. He has the same conviction. He has the same confidence as Paul had in the power of the gospel. And so Paul terms him here, my brother. There are a lot of weasel words spoken today about those who are brothers in Christ. A lot of words come off the lips, especially of ecumenical men, about brothers. We're all brothers together. Listen, unless we're in the household of faith, unless we're saved and born again of the Spirit of God, we can call no other man our brother. But Epaphroditus here very clearly has a conviction and a confidence in the power of the gospel. Why do I say that? And I want you to keep in mind that it's Paul saying this, my brother. It's very clear, I think, by his life and by his actions, that Epaphroditus demonstrated the faith that he had in Christ. Here was a man who lived out his Christian life before others. And as Epaphroditus lived for God, Paul saw that. We can't see the heart of others. Neither could Paul. We can't see what God sees. Only the Lord knows alone them that are his. But I tell you what we can see. And that is the outward evidence of an inward work. We can see the graces of God in the life. We can see the evidences of a work of grace that has been wrought in the life. We can see an individual who loves the Lord, who loves the work of God, who gives their all to God because they have this conviction. By their fruits ye shall know them. Faith, as James says, without works is dead. And it's very clear that Epaphroditus is no dead, dull Christian. As he lived for God, as he walked with God, Paul could see it, and Paul was taken by his faith. When we cannot see any outward evidence of a change in the life of one who says they are saved, then we have to wonder,
has a change been wrought at all?
Paul says, work out your own salvation. Work out that which has been worked in, and we've seen that. And Paul clearly saw that in the life of Epaphroditus. As we said, he was a man of discernment, that is Paul. And he could see the evidence of a new life within this man. Oh, if he couldn't have seen the fruits of salvation, if he didn't see any change, if he didn't see a man living for Christ and serving the Lord, then he would not have been calling him very lightly his brother. You see, Paul in Epaphroditus saw a faith that was real. Paul in Epaphroditus saw a conviction and a conversion that was genuine. Is your faith real today? Do you have a living faith that drives you to work for God? That drives you to serve the Lord? That by your life others would see the love of Christ within you? Do you have this burning desire and ambition within your heart and life as the Apostle Paul did, and as he saw it clearly in the life of Epaphroditus, to see others won for Christ? Is the work of God all consuming to us? Is your faith real? That's what we need today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Men and women with conviction and confidence in the faith that they have, and to stand up for that faith. He was a man. He was a man of conviction. And Paul was able to say, my brother, my brother. Not only was he a man of conviction, but another mark, he was a man of consistency. And companion in verse 25, and companion in labour. Means he was a fellow worker with Paul. A man who was consistent in life, a man who worked along Paul with Paul and the other believers. Labourers together. He says, and companion in labour. It talks about a co-worker working together. One of the tragedies today in the Church of Jesus Christ is that we're working against each other. Striving against each other. And pride and personality has come in. And we're all pushed up and pumped up with our own self-importance. Here was a man who labored along with Paul. He realized there was a work to do. And he was consistent in that work. It speaks of a unity in the work of God. A unity amongst the people of God. And that is always where the Lord will command the blessing. Well, here was a man. He was not shy about rolling up his sleeves and getting on with the work and sticking at the work. That word, my companion, appears 13 times throughout the New Testament. Not always just translated the word companion, but the original word 13 times, 12 of those times it's used by Paul to speak of those who labored with him. Labored with him. Those who worked with Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. And so here we see this faith again being lived out on display. Epaphroditus, he says, you labor with me. You work with me. We work together for the cause of Christ. He has come alongside and he has helped in the work. As we saw in chapter 1 of Philippians, there were those who sought to hinder the work. There were those who preached Christ but for contention. They had their own agenda. They had their own desires. They had their own aims. But not Epaphroditus. He's my companion in labor. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of consistency. But another mark here is that he was a man of courage. Verse 25, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Here was a man who realized that the Christian life is not a playground, but it's a battleground. And there are too many Christians today playing at church. Too many of those who take the name of Christ play not being saved. We are engaged in a battle every day. Every day I live, I know there's a devil. Every day I live, I know the devil's real, getting more real all the time. We are in a battle today. And I don't care what any ecumenical individual, to watch my words here, might say about wishy-washy, lovey-dovey, folks, the Church of Jesus Christ is in a battle today. We always have been. A battle for truth. A battle for the authority of the Word of God. And here is Epaphroditus, and he realizes that he's in a battle. That day that he was converted, he was enrolled in the army of God. And he wasn't afraid to get involved in the battle. He realized he was waging war against the forces of evil and darkness. He was a man of courage. Because it takes courage to stand in the battle. It takes courage to battle for Christ. It takes courage to stand up for what you believe to be right. Child of God, today we are soldiers in the Lord's army. That chorus that we always sing on a Tuesday night, I may never march with the infantry, ride with the cavalry, shoot with the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. The day you and I were converted, we enrolled ourselves in the army of God. And it takes courage. That's why Paul wrote to the Ephesian church and spoke to them about the various parts of the armoury of the Christian. Why did he say that? He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand, having done all, to stand. We're in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the wickedness and the evil of this day. And Paul says, therefore stand, take courage. And here was Epaphroditus, a man who took courage in the battle. The hymn writer said, courage, brother, do not stumble. Though your path be dark as night, there's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God. Do the right. And we say, some will hate you, some will love you, some will flatter, some will slight. Heed them not and look above you. Trust in God. Do the right. As you battle, keep standing for the Lord. Here were the marks that defined him. A man of courage, a man of conviction, a man of consistency. A lovely man. But not only the marks that defined him, but I want you to see further with me here the manner that described him. Because we further see that the manner, the, the burden and the real character of this man in these verses as well, because he had a lovely manner, a very affable and a very approachable way with him. Because he was a man who had no self-interest, only the interest of others. And it was this manner, how that he put others before himself, that really, really describes this man. You see there in verse 25, the end of the verse, he says, "But your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." Your messenger. Here's the servant in Epaphroditus. Here's a man who was willing to do anything for the work of God. Here's a man who lived out Philippians 2 and verse 4 when we read, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Here's a man who went the second mile for others. A man who sacrificed so much in the service of Christ, and he's called your messenger. He was the messenger of the church. We read from Philippians chapter 4 in the verse 18 that Epaphroditus was sent by the church from Philippi to Paul in Rome with a gift. With gifts. He was tasked to go on that long journey from Philippi to Rome with a gift. And he didn't say, "Well, what about your man? Do you not know who I am? You expect me to just give up my time and go to Paul with a gift?" No, Paul or Epaphroditus was willing to serve because he put the needs of others before himself. And in so doing, he sacrificed his time and his talents. It wasn't below Epaphroditus to be the message boy. It wasn't below him to do the most unseen of tasks. You know, as I thought about Epaphroditus this past week, I can't help but think he's one of those individuals that no matter what you would ask to do, he says, "Absolutely, no problem." And no matter what was asked of Epaphroditus to do, he says, "That's fine." He didn't say, well, let me just think about that. I'll come back to you and I'll need to work a few things out." He says, "No, I'll go." That's the matter that described him. Because he put others before himself. He was a man that was willing to do anything, the most menial of tasks. And as he took that love gift to Paul, we see in verse 25 how that he ministered to my wants. In a very practical way, he ministered to Paul. Now, we think of ministry today as something that's all public, something that only goes on in a pulpit. That's not all ministry. It's a part of it, yes. But we can minister to others in a very practical way. Lifting a phone and ringing. Sending a card. Inquiring. Some practical means. That's ministry. And that's what Paul is saying here. In a very practical way, Epaphroditus ministered. You see, that's why I say there's always something we can do for God. Always something we can do for God. There was his manner to the workers. But I want you to see as we come into verse 26, his manner as well to the work. This is what really shines out for me in the life of Epaphroditus. In verse 26 we read, he longed after you all. Here's a man who has been sent away from the church in Philippi to minister to the needs of Paul in prison. And his heart is still with the church at home in Philippi. He loved the work of God so much. He loved that body of believers so much that when he was away from them, it really burdened his heart. He loved the people of God there. He just loved being amongst the fellowship of the believers there in Philippi. And although he was willing to sacrifice and willing to go to Rome and to meet the needs of Paul in a practical way, yet his heart was still very much in Philippi. That's how much he loved the local church. Here was a man, whatever position or not he held in the church, but here was a man who just loved the church. He loved the gathering together of the people of God. He had a real zeal and real desire and love for the fellowship of believers. What a challenge. What a challenge. Do we love the work of God so much in such a manner that when we are away from it, our every waking thought is taken up with it? Or can we just miss the services today without any thought? Doesn't really care if we don't show up. Here was a man, by his manner, he loved the church. And no matter where he was, he wanted to be at the church. Though he was doing the work of God, his heart still lay with the church in Philippi. That, to me, speaks volumes of this man, Epaphroditus. He missed the church. But the church missed him. In verse 28, we read, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice. So that when they saw Epaphroditus coming back, they would rejoice. They say, Epaphroditus has returned. Do you see how much of an asset he was? Do you see how much he was treasured by the body of believers in the church at Philippi? He was a joy to be round, that when he was missed, when he wasn't there, he was missed. Are we missed in such a manner? Are we missed in such a manner? Or when people see us coming, are we filled with dread and thinking, what are we going to hear now? Here was a man who was such a joy to be around. He was an encouragement. He was a comfort to the saints of God. Whatever he had to deal with, he obviously dealt with it with a smile and a joyful spirit. He missed the church. And the church missed him. But notice something more. He was full of heaviness, verse 26. Because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Verse 26, for me, are words that are very, very, very powerful. He was sick. We read that in verse 27. Sick nigh unto death. But it wasn't his sickness that worried Epaphroditus. It was the fact that news had got back to the church in Philippi and they were now worried about him. They had good reason to be worried because he was sick nigh unto death. But Epaphroditus, in such a selfless manner, he says, I don't want you to be worried about me. You see, here we see again his natural concern and loving manner to the people of God. The focus of his worry was not himself, but others. Even though he was seriously ill, he was worried more about others than himself. What a testimony. What a testimony. Verse 30, we read, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. It didn't matter how he was. And he was genuine, sincere in that. His concern was for the people of God, that they wouldn't worry about him. Here again is this man living out Philippians 2 and 4. Looking every man on the things of others before on the things of himself. How far short we fall. He put the needs of others before the needs of himself, even though he clearly, evidently was in great need. But he didn't want self-pity. He didn't want others to be burdened with his troubles. He was clearly not a complainer or a grumbler or a moaner. His only burden, his only heaviness was not for himself, but for the people of God that he loved. What a refreshing individual Epaphroditus was. In this self-centered age, where it's all me, and nobody else, Epaphroditus comes to us with a great challenge. A great challenge. He longed after church. He loved the church. He loved the fellowship of the church. His very heartbeat was the heartbeat of the church. There is nowhere else he would rather be than with the fellowship and the company of God's people. Nowhere else. He had such a deep, sincere, genuine love for the church in Philippi. He didn't want to be away from them. My heart is saddened. My heart is saddened. When people absent themselves from the fellowship of the local church. Can I say something? Those who believe that sermon audio is a substitute for fellowship of the local church. Wrong, wrong, wrong. News came to me in recent weeks that saddened my heart. Saddened my heart in relation to sermon audio. Gathering round a computer screen when you can be at church is no substitute for being at church. Sermon audio has a place for those who are unwell and no longer able to get to church. It has a place. But it must never replace the fellowship and the gathering together of the saints of God, particularly on a Sunday night, for public worship. God, give us a heart like Epaphroditus. The marks that defined him. The manner that described him. But I want you to see as well here, and finally, the mercy that delivered him. Here was a man who was near to death, but experienced God's mercy. Verse 27 we read, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy. But God had mercy. Thank God for his mercies. Thank God for the mercy that allows us to be gathered here today. in this form of public worship. Oh, what an awful loss it would have been to the church and to Paul if Epaphroditus had not survived this illness. As we read at verse 27, it would have added sorrow upon sorrow. Literally, it means wave of grief after grief if Epaphroditus had been taken away from them. Here was a man who was so pivotal and so important in the work of God. And as I say, why we do not know the position he held, if he held any at all. Yet here was a man that God had mercy on. It wasn't his time to go just then. God still had something more. And you know, it was perhaps even just a ministry of encouragement. And I say just, and I don't mean that actually. Because what a ministry encouragement is. Epaphroditus was such a key individual in the church. And the Lord knew that. And the Lord had mercy on his soul and delivered him from death. And so, Paul, in a great act of selflessness, sends Epaphroditus back. Paul, as I read these verses, Paul would just have loved for Epaphroditus to have stayed with him in Rome. Could you imagine the conversations that they would have there in that prison room? And the two of them talking together about the things of God. And Paul would just have loved to have his company. But Paul says, no, it's more necessary for him to return back to Philippi. And as he returns, in verse 29, he gives his exhortation, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. He came close to death for the very sake of the work. Nearly lost his life. But he didn't regard his own life, because the lives of others and the needs of others were more important to Epaphroditus. He was sacrificial in service. Are we sacrificed to serve the Lord today? Are we? Or are we just a form of religion? What have we sacrificed for the Lord this week? What will we sacrifice for the Lord in the week that comes? On Thursday night past, we were looking at that wonderful account of Martha and Mary. Martha cumbered with much serving. And as I acknowledged that night, last Thursday night, and I do again, I'm often there. But have we sacrificed time to sit at the Savior's feet? Have we? Epaphroditus loved the work, was willing to sacrifice anything for the work, put the needs of others before himself, because first and foremost, he had a strong love for Christ. I've said in the past, we will never love the work until we love the Lord. And our love for the Lord will be reflected in our love for the work of God. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want to have the mind of Christ. We need, like Paul, to be surrendered in service. We want to have the mind of Christ. We need to be like Timothy, be steadfast in service. We want to have the mind of Christ. We need to be like Epaphroditus and be sacrificial in service, realizing it's only what's done for the Lord will last. God, give us the spirit, the manner of Epaphroditus. May what was said of Epaphroditus be able to be said of us. That as we serve the Lord, that we look not upon ourselves, but we look on others. Let's bow in prayer.